So as we reflect and begin to celebrate this important upcoming week with the 4th of July that's right around the corner to celebrate our nation's liberty and freedom, we know and we respect as we celebrate that freedom is a gift that doesn't necessarily make us free in the sense that we think we're individuals who live our lives accordingly to our own will. We know that freedom is a very special gift that is given to us by God. And we are blessed to live in this country where we can celebrate our freedom. And we also give thanks for those who have given of themselves, as well as those who continue to uphold the important gift of the freedom that we celebrate together. To those first responders, to those government leaders, to those government officials, to the men and women of our armed forces who are actively engaged here and around the world to grant us this special blessing of freedom. And our hearts and prayers continue to go out to them and to their families. And we also remember and give honor to those who have paid the ultimate price, the price of our freedom as we equate with the value of human life. And we give thanks to those who have given the ultimate gift that we enjoy and share the freedom and liberty within this country and within our own very lives. May God bless them as God continues to bless us. And because of this wonderful gift of freedom, it certainly, as I mentioned before, doesn't mean that we're free to do whatever we want to do, however we want to do it. This wonderful gift of freedom in the proper context means that it carries a weight of responsibility for each of us. As the Declaration of Independence defines, this is an unalienable right to life, liberty, and to the pursuit of happiness as a self-evident truth. And as Christians, our responsibility in light of this wonderful gift of freedom is so much more than the right to believe and uphold our religion, freedom of religion, in any way that we see fit. Our responsibility as Christians in this world is to uphold this wonderful gift of freedom that we share in the light of God's salvation given to us through Jesus Christ. And Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, our second epistle reading, a wonderful reader who we had up here earlier, he spoke about this from verse 1 of chapter 5. And Paul said, "For freedom, Christ has set us free. For freedom, Christ has set us free." And Paul's writing this letter to the first Christians who are forming in Galatia, in a known region, we think, somewhere near Anchorage, Turkey. And they're non-Jewish Christians who are beginning to form and worship in the name of Jesus Christ. And Paul is helping them develop their faith as well as their church. And this all took place some 50 years after Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, to sort of put it in this context. And of course, the Christians of Galatians who worshiped in that church back then are very different to who we are as Christians today. But the gift of freedom in Christ that they celebrated is the very same gift of freedom in Christ that we celebrate with them today. Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And because Jesus is always with us in the power of the Holy Spirit, his word is indeed timeless, as well as indeed timely. You know, I can't tell you how many times I know this has happened to many of you. I've read certain portions of Scripture over and over and over again, And when I go to that same portion of Scripture and read it, it's like the words just jump right out at me. God's Word is powerful. It's a living, abiding Word. And through the Holy Spirit, His Word centers upon my heart and speaks to me in a very timely way. This is the power of God's Word, the power of Jesus Christ who lives among us in spirit and in truth. And I know so many of you share this freedom in Christ as well, especially through His abiding Word. And this Word is only revealed to us through the Holy Spirit, as Paul defined to live by the Spirit in verse 16. So Paul was writing this letter to the Christians who were the Galatian Christians who were forming at that time. And Christianity was beginning to then separate itself away from rabbinic Judaism. And Paul was defining this in context of how the Jewish Mosaic law defines our structure of freedom and salvation. And Paul was saying following the letter of the law is extremely difficult. He said in Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 15. Slide 3, please. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I, Paul said, am of the flesh, sold into slavery under sin. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing that I hate. And he goes on to say, for I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thanks be to God. You know, the law is important. The law gives us boundaries. The law defines when we get outside those boundaries and commit sin. But the law, as Paul would profess, does not save us. Only our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is the freedom that we share in our salvation in Him and through Him. And Paul defines in Galatians that we have a choice. We can live by the Spirit or we can live by the flesh. And Paul defines this in terms of how we, in Romans 6:6, we know that our old self was crucified with Him, with Jesus on the cross, so that the body of sin might be destroyed, and we might no longer be enslaved to sin, but we are set free in Christ. And I want to reread this section from Galatians at verse 13 and reread this in light of the Message Bible translation. And as I read this important verse, I want you to open your heart and allow God's living word to speak into your soul as you see and hear these words that I'm about to say. Paul said, "It is absolutely clear that God has called you to a free life. Just make sure that you don't use this freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want to do and destroy your freedom. Rather, use your freedom to serve one another in love. That's how freedom grows. To serve one another in love, that's how freedom grows. This is the way in the freedom of God's love that we can choose to live together in the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Through love, joy, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And when we share these gifts with others, they become more empowering to us in the light of the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit exists all around us, before us, behind us, within us. And when we make the conscious faith choice to choose the Spirit, to invite the Spirit in every situation of life that we encounter, even in sermons. Come, Holy Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit become alive and available to us through our faith in Jesus Christ. And this past week, I took a few days off from the office, and Catherine's father had his second knee replacement surgery done, and he's just finished his surgery. He was in rehab, and Catherine and I drove west all the way to San Marcos, where her father lives, to spend a few days with him, helping him in his rehab. And as soon as we headed out of this area of Houston, northwest area of Houston, we're heading west towards San Marcos. It's just amazing to me that this type of sandy soil that we have in our area produces some of the most wonderful Texas watermelons, right? And there's not a fruit that defines the 4th of July better than the watermelon, correct? And you know that hot dog eating contest that they do on the 4th of July? They should do a Texas-sized watermelon eating contest. Now, that would be a real event. You see these things stacked up on the side of the roads all the way heading to San Marcos. As a matter of fact, we drove through the little town of Luling, Texas, and they were having the Watermelon Thump Festival going on right now in Luling. And the thing about a watermelon, the fruit of the watermelon is not a fruit you can eat all by yourself. Maybe there are a few of you who can do that, but you cannot eat a Texas-sized watermelon all to yourself. You have to cut that sucker up, and you have to pass that out and share that with others around you. And this is what Paul is talking about in the fruit of the Spirit. When we open our hearts and choose to allow the Spirit to be a part of our life, we share those gifts with those around us. Out of this wonderful expression of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, to name a few. And the more we share, the more God's gifts of Spirit become available to us. And the more we are empowered to encourage others in their faith walk in the Lord. And this kind of leads into our gospel reading this morning. And I think at first glance that gospel reading can be somewhat confusing to us. You know, Jesus and his followers are going to a non-Jewish territory, and they're approached by people. They want to follow Jesus. And Jesus makes the comment, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. You know, you can imagine we put a call out for volunteers for VBS, and we want you to go to the volunteer table and sign up for whatever area of helping out in VBS that you can. And you walk up to the table and you say you want to help, and the nice person behind the table says something like, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but it doesn't quite connect. But to see the other two individuals that approached Jesus, that they wanted to follow him, and Jesus is laying out, as he made that comment, that it takes our priority on our part to be faithful in the choices that we make. That's what he's saying. And when the other individuals come up and want to follow Jesus, and they say, but first, let me go, take care and bury my father. And the second person comes, I want to follow you, but first let me go say goodbye to my family. And what Jesus is alluding to is how we as a church family order our priorities in life, to be free to make the choice to follow him, to allow the Holy Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, to rule in our life. And Jesus certainly wants us to be centered within our immediate families first and foremost. Our family needs are the utmost importance to him. But maybe here's another way to look at this. Now, Catherine and I are empty nesters. We have two daughters and four grandkids, and we're going to get with them soon, I think, coming up. But just for us right now, it's just Catherine and myself. We are our immediate family right now. But there is direct correlation to my relationship, my marriage with Catherine in my immediate family is a direct correlation to how I interact with you as my church family. In other words, if I'm not centered with Catherine, there's no way that I can be centered with you. And we each are called as various different gifts to be a part of this unified body. We each have important roles that we serve. Now, for Catherine and I, we get together, we strive daily to pray. We stand in a very special sacred place and pray out loud to each other. We read and meditate on Scripture. And there's often many times where she has a different interpretation of Scripture than I have a different interpretation of Scripture, and we share those with the fruits of the Spirit, with love, patience, generosity, and so forth. And the Spirit grows within our marriage, our relationship together, because we allow the Spirit to be a part of our marriage, our lives together. And there are times where, you know, life gets in the way, and we don't always pray in the morning like we're supposed to. But we know the difference when we don't stand in that place of sanctity and pray out loud with each other. There's a definite difference in our life. But we can always reconnect to the fruit of the Holy Spirit, where there is forgiveness, grace, love, patience, generosity, and so forth. You know, Catherine and I meet with couples before they get married, before we do the sacrament of marriage. And one of the first things that we say to couples who are going to get married, are you praying together out loud daily? Pew, right? And then we model what that looks like for them, and we get them to engage to do it themselves. That's the number one thing. And think about your own marriage. Are you standing in a place of sanctity with your spouse, praying out loud, looking at each other, centering your lives in God's grace? This is a freedom of choice that we have to make in the spirit of God's love. And if you're not married or widowed, do you have a Christ-centered relationship with someone else where you can stand in a place of sanctity and pray, you know, before you walk in the morning, before you sit down and have dinner at a restaurant, before you get together and play bunco? Do you have a place? Do you have a place that you can sit down together and have a Christ-centered relationship with them, expressing the fruits of the Holy Spirit? With that said, what fruit are you bearing in your world? Think about this past week. What were moments that you had a choice to invite the Holy Spirit into whatever relationship you had at home, at work, wherever you were? And did you make that choice to live in the fruit of the Spirit or in the flesh? Are you deeply involved in prayer in a Christ-centered relationship with someone else by witnessing, by offering grace, by mentoring them in the way that we are to live in the gift that God gives us in the freedom of His love? This is the gift that we share and grow together in Christ. We are one nation under God with God's justice and God's liberty for all. As Paul said, if we live by the Spirit, if we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided and walk by the Spirit. This is our call to freedom, and may God bless us as we celebrate the gift of our nation's freedom and the gift of the freedom we share in Christ. Amen.